Welcome everyone to the Blind Entrepreneur Podcast, where we help entrepreneurs and business professionals execute their vision by guiding them to profitability.
Let's go.
You are listening to episode 168, and today we have David Brickley. David Brickley, he is the owner of a sports and entertainment social media marketing agency called STN Digital. They work with some of the largest brands and sports entertainment properties in the world, and also some of the largest sporting events in the world, such as the Olympics, World Cup, and the smallest event in the world, the Super Bowl. David, welcome to the show, man. How's your day going?
What's up, John? I'm trusting the process over here on the West Coast. So, congrats to you and all the success over there in Philly, man.
Yeah, it's really interesting when it comes to fans with Philly. I have a friend in particular who crapped on me for like 2 years straight, haggling me every single day, talking to me about the Sixers are going to amount to nothing. They suck. Yeah. They do this. They do that. And then now he's posting selfies at the games.
Yeah.
Yep. And he's talking about how great this team is. It bogs my mind, but the conversation, we'll talk about sports later
on.
What's really important is the first question I'm going to ask you. It's probably the hardest one that you'll hear today. So imagine you just had the absolute best day of your life. Where are you going to eat, and what are you going to order to make your day complete? And I have a follow-up question to this one as well.
Okay. I like it. What am I going to eat? That's a good question. I'm going to go with Greek food. My mom's side of the family is Greek, so I'm part Greek. I think it's a type of food that a lot of people sleep on. But I'm going to like an authentic Greek restaurant. It has to be like a grandmother that like is authentic and knows how to cook it the right way. From Greece would be ideal. There's some places out here in San Diego I go to that checks those boxes. But yeah, man, I think lemon chicken, lemon potatoes. Some bastizo, and then finish it off with, a little bit of dessert, baklava with vanilla ice cream. That's what I'm rolling with.
Gotta go there. So now my follow-up question, as a sports guy, as a man who loves his sports, we have to talk about the food in arenas.
Okay.
So if there is an arena or if there is a stadium that you love, where's that one stadium and that one piece of food that you would get from your favorite sporting event?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I haven't been to like a ton of stadiums. I grew up a diehard Laker fan, so obviously spent a lot of time at the Forum and the Staples Center, of course. The Staples Center, by the way, serves like caviar to the celebrities in the front row. So they literally have like some legitimate food. But even Padre Stadium out here in San Diego, they have a really good Diamond Club and some five-star restaurant quality type food. So I guess I'll go with the local taste of Staples and Petco.
There you go. Love it. So the first real question, now that we got that out of the way, we're going to talk a little bit more about business. So this is the Blind Entrepreneur Podcast, so we have to talk about blind spots. So tell me about a time that you felt lost or blind in business, and how did you overcome those obstacles?
You know what? That's a good question, John. I think I've been pretty lucky. There hasn't been too many dark moments. I've owned the company now for 5 years and have been pretty lucky. But I will say, one moment that comes to mind was about a year and a half ago. It was kind of like I was turning 30, and it was one of those situations where I started to audit my inner circle, and there wasn't a lot of people. I have my high school buddies and my college friends and those people that are great and you hang out with a lot, but I didn't have a lot of entrepreneur friends. I didn't have a lot of people in my network that I can reach out to be mentors or just to motivate me. And I found myself, being in rooms where I might be the most successful person or might be someone that has the most employees or whatever it may be. So about a year and a half ago, I really took it upon myself that I have to find fellow business owners. I have to find other entrepreneurs because you know more than anybody, John. It's kind of like AA for entrepreneurs. The more entrepreneurs you have around you, you can really talk about those issues that you're having. You can learn from each other. So join the organization called Entrepreneurs Organization out here in San Diego. There's chapters all over the nation. And now I feel like I have like, you know, 20 to 30 people that are really close to me that I can reach out for any question, anytime I'm going through something. You know, we all know as business owners, these are not, you know, problems that only happen to us. It's been happening for hundreds, if not thousands of years. So there's people that have gone through those same situations. So it was a weird moment where I was like, wait a second, I don't have anybody in my circle that I can go to and I have to fix this immediately. And within a couple of months, I did some research and now I feel like I have a really good nucleus of an ecosystem that I can reach out to.
Very cool. So was that, was there the moment in time where you're just like, you know what, I need to change this mindset. And then like, can you give us like clear definitive things that your group has been able to help you do?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I'll give you the exact example. I'm in a fantasy football league. It's an amazing football league. All my high school buddies and college friends are in it. We've been doing it for 15 years. And that was the moment. I was, with all my buddies and I love them to death, but we were all kind of talking about high school stuff and kind of talking about what my high school stats were and stuff. And I, you know, that stuff is cool once in a while, but that can't be the majority of what you're doing, especially if you want to propel yourself as an entrepreneur and continue to grow as an individual, as a leader. So those conversations are cool, but I also want to be in those conversations where, how do you become a better leader? How do you become a better business owner? How do you make more money? How do you become more successful? So I just noticed I was having too many of those, I wouldn't say bad conversations, but just some of those, you know, friendly conversations that you have and not being able to counter that with enough of business type conversations. So that was the actual moment of fantasy football week. And believe it or not, during a draft that kind of like, wait a second, I love this part of my friends and in my life, but I got to counter with that business side. And to your next question about what are they? I mean, everything. I mean, if I need a lawyer recommendation, a bookkeeper recommendation, if I'm going through an HR issue with an employee, you know, you name it, any business issue or problem or something I want to get better at, just being able to reach out to that community and say, hey guys, have you ever dealt with this? And my whole thing is just like, how do you stop the trial and error? The first couple of years of my business, there's so much trial and error. And I think the more you have in your network, the ability for you to just fast forward that success or be able to not have to go through 9 bookkeepers to get to the 10th one that is the best one, because people can recommend and kind of refer you to some of the best in the business.
So one of the most important things that we all need to do in our business, you mentioned it, is making money, providing more jobs, providing more opportunities to the team that you are building and will be building. And that tends to obtaining customers. So what are some ways that you are achieving your first 100 customers, or how were you able to accomplish that feat?
Yeah, I think it's a numbers game. You know, a lot of people, I'm really amazed by this question. A lot of people ask me like, how did you start? Like one of our first clients were the New England Patriots. And that's a startup company, bootstrapping. And that was one of our first clients. And as I kind of talk about our roster sometimes with people, they always say, how in the hell did you work with the Patriots? And how did you work with NBC Sports or Fox Sports or some of these bigger, sexier brands? And the answer is a cold email. Like, you know, we just reached out. And I think so many people say there's no way they would work with us, or these people get hit up all the time. There's no way they're going to return my email. And of course, it's a numbers game. You know, you might bat, you know, 5 or 6%. But I think if you get that first opportunity and you're able to market yourself and have good case studies and you do good work, people want to work with good people, and people want to work with people that can do good work and help them do their job too. So once we start getting those first couple clients, it built our credibility, and then we were able to use case studies and say, hey, we work with the Patriots, we should be working with you, and here's why. So that was super helpful. But I'm always amazed by people who are like, how is that ever possible? You must have known somebody, your uncle must have been the VP of whatever. No, it was literally completely cold emails and simply a numbers game.
So can you talk a little bit more about that process? I'd like to kind of dive in as much as you would like to go into, because you're right. You know, when people hear success, when they hear things, they automatically assume I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of people automatically assume that it's like he knows somebody, he got lucky.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to do with jealousy and ego, whatever it may be. So you send a cold email. What do you, can you break down what your cold email was like? How long did it take? Was it one cold email? Did it take seven? Did it take 15?
Yeah. So in the beginning of our company, it's funny, our process was, I think the first 20 emails or 20 calls we got on, the way we phrased it was, listen, we're a startup company. We're working in the sports space. We would love to pick your brain and get your advice on on the industry. And I think that stroked people's ego the same way why people probably want to come into your podcast. Like, yeah, I'll give you some knowledge and feel good about it. Giving is better than receiving, right? So the first couple of calls we got on was just simply going to them for advice. And then towards the end of the call, it was, well, here's the product we're thinking about launching. If we had that and we broke it down, would you be interested in maybe seeing that in the next couple of weeks or month? And the answer was always, sure, that sounds good. So we listened to our prospects and found out what the bottleneck was, where there was inefficiencies, and kind of built our company around that. We started selling blogs to sports teams, and the market initially punched back and said, we don't need blogs, but can you help us with social media? And we're like, sure. So it was a lot of like evolution and just listening to our clients and then tweaking that messaging every step of the way as we kind of learn from each and every call, each and every email type of deal.
So I laughed when you were talking about the strategy, because it's a strategy that we are implementing as we speak, like the exact strategy. So now I'm curious, this is more selfish questions now. When you sit down with these people, what were you talking about, and what was that punchline that really hooked them in to want to work with you?
So you, in the beginning, we were asking for advice initially, or just
So you get the advice. Yep. You sit down with them. You're sitting down with the VP of marketing at the New England Patriots.
Right.
How did you structure that conversation to obtain a lead or a client?
Yeah, I think so. What we did was we just, like I said, listened very closely to what they were saying. What are some of your bottlenecks? You know, I know in social media, you're wearing a lot of different hats. What we see often is blank, or what we see as a problem with a lot of NFL teams is blank. And they're shaking their head and they're saying, exactly, like, you know what I'm putting down. And then we really built and this is when, in the beginning, when we're bootstrapping and we're trying to find our first couple clients, we're literally building packages by the day based on what people are saying. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing some of the same patterns happen over and over and over again. And all of a sudden, you're able to build a package that fits exactly what that person needs. And if it works for one NFL team, it pretty much works for a lot of different NFL teams. So then when you pitch it to that seventh NFL team, they're shaking their head like, yep, that's the problem I have. Exactly. Oh, you do that for the Patriots too, or what have you. So I think that was the biggest part of it, is like listening to what they're saying. What are the patterns that you continue to see? And then speak their language right back to them. Like, let me guess, you're a one-man band. You have to run Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and at that time it wasn't even Snapchat. And you have to create graphics. You have to engage with the audiences on game day. It's really, really all hands on deck, but you don't have enough resources. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's the answer. So all of a sudden we can provide a solution to that bottleneck or to that issue. So I think just listening, especially in the early stages of the company, was huge. And it still is this day. I think I've reinvented a business model every 6 months for the last 5 years, because social is moving so quickly. And that's simply by listening to our clients and our prospects and evolving from there.
And so the strategy that you're coming up with when it comes to listening, and it sounds like you're still listening today, but the verbiage that you used was, if we build this or if we do this, it will come. Does that still work even when you are more refined business as you are today? Because mm-hmm. I mean, you've been around for 5 years, you have a history. Yep. Does that same approach still work?
Yeah, I think. And listen, there's even been clients that have, hired a bunch of internal resources and necessarily don't need an agency anymore. And the question goes to them with good relationships. It's like, well, where are you lacking? Analytics or paid media? Where there's always a bottleneck in every organization. And I think constantly having those conversations, then there's some clients that we've worked with in the beginning that we don't do anything remotely close to what that package was 4 or 5 years ago, but we still work with them because they know they can trust us. They know that we do good work. And now we're offering a completely different package. And, you know, we're in client services. So client services is all about making the client's life easier. So in order to do that, I feel like you have to constantly offer new packages. You constantly have to offer better services in order to stay alive. Because if you don't, if we were selling the same package we were 5 years ago, we would be completely bankrupt and out of business. But I think that's client services in a nutshell, is where's the hole, how can you fix it type deal.
So do you think that now this is more unselfish? I think those past two questions were more selfish.
No worries.
But now, so you get the meeting with these professionals. Mm-hmm. Do you think that credibility? Let me rephrase that. Do you think that your history mattered? Because like a lot of times that, I'm sure you get this a lot. We get this a lot as well when it comes to our design service.
Yep.
Oh, well, have you worked with a real estate agent before? Or, well, have you worked with something? Let me see an example of this. Did that hurt you in the beginning when you had these meetings with these high level sports individuals? And how did you overcome that?
I'll be honest with you, it's happening right now. We're having some conversations with some larger brands, and they're saying, yeah, but have you ever done major theatrical releases? And we can say, well, listen, we've done something similar, not necessarily a theatrical release worldwide. Oh, well, you know, our agencies have worked with, you know, multiple releases type deal. So we still run into that. And I think anytime you can build a case study to kind of prove that model. So we kind of faked it till we make it a little bit. We created sports graphics and we created infographics and all those, you know, kind of sexy things for social. We created those things just in the background, like as if we were working for a sports team. Here's how it would look. So those initial case studies were completely fabricated. And you know what's funny too? You'd be amazed how many people just automatically assumed if we made a 76er graphic, they assume we work with the Sixers. So being able to spend some time on the back end and make, if the Sixers hired us, we would create A, B, and C and just make it and create a case study for that. 90% of the time people don't ask like, wait a second, did you just make this or did you actually do this for the Sixers? So if you do spend the time on the front end to kind of, and maybe on our style, 5 years into it, maybe we should do a mock-up theatrical release and prove to these folks that, listen, you know, no, we haven't done a ton of them, but here's an example of how we would do it and just blow them away with the quality and the thoughtfulness behind it. So I think we're constantly doing that. And I think it's easy to fill those gaps if you don't have that credibility.
Incredibly yeah. Smart. So you're this forward thinking guy and yeah. We had a conversation previously on your podcast.
Yep.
And I could just tell that you're very, I'd say maybe not analytical from a numbers perspective, because I don't really know you well enough about if you are more numbers driven, but you're more calculated.
Yeah.
Have you always been this forward thinking, like let's keep going type of mentality? Or was this something that you learned over time throughout your trial and error and history of entrepreneurship?
No, I've always been driven. I've always hated relying on anybody except myself. I haven't had a deal with trust. Even back in the day when I was in college, I had some podcast friends that would, you know, I want to do a podcast like you're doing. Back when I was in college, I wanted to do it twice a week. And I had these different co-hosts and they would, you know, not show up to a show or they wouldn't prepare for the show. And like I was kind of screwed over so many times over and over again. That is hate. Putting it up to chance. So I think for me, I think I've always been driven. Anything I can control, I want to control. And that's more like type A personality, entrepreneurship at its core. If I can control having higher quality presentations, if I can control tweaking a little bit of my language to speak to the prospect, I'm going to do that and kind of give myself the amazing or the ultimate success rate just based on, I guess, hard work and ethics. So, we're sports guys. So I think there's a reason Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant weren't the most athletic, amazing humans on the planet, but they worked harder than anybody and they constantly tweaked their game every single day. So I think as entrepreneurs, if you lean into that, you can be pretty successful.
So, David, I'm going to change this conversation up a little bit. And as you know, you sent me an email late last night of your Instagram handle. I went ahead and I friend requested you. It wasn't because I wanted to be friends with you. I really don't like you that much.
Oh,
But
man.
I'm just kidding. But what I really wanted to do was I wanted to do a deep dive. And I found some pictures that
Okay.
were on your Instagram
I love
account
it.
that I just have some questions about.
Okay.
So this one is the NBA Awards
Yeah.
fashion show. What was that like? Like that, just the whole swag that you had from when it comes to the shirt to the shoes, you're swagged out. Let's talk about that. Is fashion something that
It's
you're interested
it.
in?
I mean, yeah, a little bit. I think it's funny. You know, we do a lot of activations with celebrities. With the NBA Awards, we had Shaq in that booth and Jada Pinkett Smith. We've done that with your boy Joel Embiid as well. But I'm always like the stand-in or the mock-in. So there's like countless amount of video footage and photos where I have to stand in as the guy for the photographer or what have you to kind of get an idea of how it's all going to work. So what's pretty cool on those events is I'm able to kind of step in to help us with rehearsals and on the front end, I get some dope content from me and my personal feed. So that was me the day before the NBA Awards, filling in, making sure we had all the right shots, the music was cool, and what would it look like if John Wall or Paul George or what have you was in the booth. And then I, of course, posted on my own. So
Yeah, I love it.
that's usually how it works.
So there's no to people listening and even watching, there's a clear voice that you have that is sports. Like the way you talk is that of like a sports announcer. And I don't know if it's weird to say, but you have a great voice for it. You recorded a video, and this is a bad
I was just
snapshot.
listening to that. Yeah, that's
You
funny.
recorded a video of yourself, just to the people that are listening. I'll describe it. And it's basically your reaction to Mamba, which is Kobe Bryant, to those of you who don't know, dropping 60 points on his final game of his NBA life. Have you ever thought about another career of being a sports announcer?
It's funny you say that, man. I actually, that was my dream. I went to school at San Diego State for broadcast journalism. I wanted to be a SportsCenter anchor. I wanted to have my own sports radio show. So I worked at Fox Sports Radio actually for 3.5 years out of college out in LA. And I was kind of beating down the program director's door, like, give me a show, give me a show, give me a show. At the same time, I was doing my own podcast, again, not relying on anybody, right? And I started a YouTube channel. And just said, I'm going to do it myself. I'm not going to rely on the program director. I'm going to make a Laker radio show essentially on YouTube. It started to get a pretty good following. And believe it or not, kind of through the grapevine, hearing through different people, I knew Kobe Bryant's people. So I pitched an idea to Kobe and said, listen, on a weekly basis, I will create free content for you. It's going to be called the Kobe Minute, and we're going to talk about what you're doing off the court and on the court. I'll do it completely free of charge. Just let me keep the YouTube ad revenue on the back end. I shot the mock-up. I pitched it. They said, Kobe loves it. Let's do it. So back in like 2014, we're in a situation where Kobe's posting me, my face, on his Facebook and Twitter once a week, and all my videos are getting 200,000 views. And that was the epiphany for the entrepreneur in me. Like, wait a second. I didn't rely on the program director. My idol growing up, Kobe Bryant, who I, you know, adored, is now posting me on his feeds. And why can't I do this for more athletes? Why can't I do this for more sports teams? And that's when I started the agency. But it is funny, but going back to that moment, that's why I think Kobe and the Lakers, like, they're so dear to me, because literally that passion that I had for the team really brought my whole passion into business. And I was able to kind of, as a sports geek, do what I love every day. So
Yeah,
that's
it's
a
awesome.
long-winded answer. I apologize, but
No, it's a
that's kind of the story
great
behind it.
answer. It's a real answer. I mean, what was it like just being able to see that as a fan for 60 points in the last game?
Yeah,
Because
it
you
was
said I
amazing,
didn't know that
man.
he was your idol, but
Yeah.
yeah, what was it like?
Michael Jordan first and then Kobe after Michael retired. But, it just brought the high school. That was like my last high school moment. I think when I think of Kobe, when I was watching him play, even into my 20s and 25, 26, it always brought back good memories of like being at home and like 14, 15 running home to watch the 4 o'clock, East Coast games and things like that. So that moment, the reason why I recorded that in real time, I feel like a little kid again, man. It was just so cool to see him go out like that, to drop 60. And if anybody watched his last season, he was awful. Like, he played very poorly. He had one good game out in Philly, actually.
How was
But
that
for him
game?
to, that just shows, like, for him to drop 60 in his final game after the type of year he had, I think he averaged like 33% from the field or something terrible. Mm-hmm. That was there's no better way to have a mic drop moment than to drop 60 in your final game. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I was at the Philly game, and it was pretty cool to experience that too. And I feel like he turned it on to his his home and his home, his two homes, so to speak.
Exactly.
This one's just a more funny one. This is a terrible screenshot, so I do apologize. But this is just a video of Chewbacca. Some dude just, and you're like, what the hell is going on? Honestly, I was just curious. Like, what was it? That's just somebody in a random Chewbacca outfit?
Well,
just, like,
we're in San Diego, so there's a lot of Comic-Con that goes on, not only on Comic-Con weekend, but also outside of Comic-Con. But my mom and sister, we were just like getting frozen yogurt. And Chewbacca literally walks in. I'm like, this is the most random thing I've ever seen in my life. So I had to capture it. But that's super funny, man.
So this one is a quote, and it's from Payton, Walter Payton. And when you're good at something, you'll tell everyone. When you're great at something, they'll tell you. And it's just like cool.
Yep.
I was curious, and you mentioned Kobe. I didn't know that Kobe was your guy. I was wondering if maybe he was your guy at one point in time. And if, you know, the question is there a quote that you live by from a sports professional that you live by? And if you can't think of one, that's totally fine, because I put you on the spot. Now that Michael Jordan is gone, now that Kobe Bryant is gone, who's next in your realm of people that you potentially look up to?
I think I asked you this same question on my show, and it's like, you know, like you said, there's always, it would be great to meet a Jeff Bezos or a Mark Cuban type of deal. Those guys are inspiring. I will say the quote for me, believe it or not, it's Tony Robbins. I don't subscribe to everything he lays down, but he has a great quote that says, "What's wrong is always available, but so is what's right." And I think that's just like the half glass full mentality. You can always, 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 always find something that's wrong with your day or a client or a situation or your business. But I really believe in like positive thinking. And if you are able to focus on what's right, and how your family's healthy and how amazing things are in your life, then, you know, it just kind of puts everything in perspective. So I do love that quote. The famous Michael Jordan one, which is, I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. It's kind of a cliche one, but it's so true. It's just like, every single failure, you learn something from it. And if you have that mentality, again, I'll give you a third one. Mark Cuban says, every single no gets me closer to a yes. Mm-hmm. And I think to your earlier point about sales, yes, you will send 197 cold emails, but that just gives you that much more percentage for one of them to come back and say, "Hey, John, we'd love to hop on a call. Let's do it."
Exactly.
So I think if you allow negativity kind of creep in, it can really put you in a dark place. So I think I'm all about positivity. And to answer your question, who would I want to meet? I think, honestly, like, just people like you, man. I think, you know, these type of relationships, you know, we came on each other's show. When I go out to New Jersey, I want to hit you up. If you're ever in SoCal, hit me up.
Absolutely.
And I think those are the relations. Everybody always talks about the Bezos and the Cubans and stuff like that. But I think people would be amazed, the like-minded people like you and I, 5 years from now, who knows? I think, you know, we can help each other in a lot of ways. So the more people you're willing to connect with, I think it just gives you a better batting average at being successful.
Love it. Love the ending sports analogy that you just put in there.
And feelings, I didn't realize it.
Feelings mutual. Hopefully one day we can grab a beer or whatever else your favorite cocktail is, whether it's water or whatever else. So my final question to you is, the blind entrepreneur, is a person who is temporarily lost or blind in business. They may be stuck in a particular headspace, and they're just trying to get out of that internal rut, so to speak. And we've all been there, and I'm sure we'll all be there again, but we need to find a way to get out of it. So what are three pieces of advice that you would give to a fellow entrepreneur that's stuck in that space?
So some of the things we've already talked about, I think for me, the first one would be just positivity. I think anytime you're kind of in that dark place and you're frustrated and maybe sales isn't as high as you'd like to, or you lose that key employee, there's always something positive that you can focus on. And even down to the fact that, like, you're alive and you don't have cancer. I mean, it seems kind of morbid, but honestly, it's not all that bad. Just because you had a bad sales month or maybe a top employee left, there's still a lot of great things going on in your life that you can focus on. So I think always finding a way to look at this, being of course, practical, and not always saying like the grass is greener and always being too positive, but understanding it and kind of put things in perspective, I think is super important, and remaining positive is the only way to go. The second one would be a peer group. Like I mentioned earlier, I think I've been amazed by just connecting with other people and being able to learn from them. And like I mentioned, if I'm going through an issue, hey, I'm going through this issue. Have you ever dealt with it? Actually, it's funny, David, I just went through that. Here's what I did. It's so valuable. And again, because I think I look back to the beginning of my company and how much trial and error I did with training and how much trial and error I did with hiring people that I wasted a lot of money on. So that peer group is so essential. And the third one, are you in a dark place and are you blind in a way because you don't really have the passion you need for this industry? I know for sports and entertainment specifically, if you don't geek out about this industry will chew you up and spit you out. Sports and entertainment, we work on weekends and nights, and we work very long days with production and things like that. And I've seen this with employees and seen this with a lot of people. Unless you geek out over your specific industry, you're never going to have enough, especially as a business owner, entrepreneur, you're never going to have enough energy to do what it takes to be successful at it. That's what I truly believe. So I think it's important if you're in that dark place to kind of reassess and be self-aware, like, am I doing what I actually love? Am I happy? Do I wake up Monday morning wanting to go to work? Or maybe I'm just not passionate about it anymore and I need to kind of reverse course or try something new. Because I do think a lot of people bang their head against a wall on stuff they're not passionate about, and they wonder why they don't want to work 16 hours a day or 20 days in a row. The people that do that are usually loving what they do and kind of smiling the whole way through. So,
yeah, love it. Great pieces of advice. We really appreciate it. David, thank you so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate
you
telling us the experiences. I'd like to just give the next 30 seconds to, maybe this could be your Kobe Bryant mic drop moment where you get 30 seconds to promote yourself. So tell us a little bit more about what you have going on, how we can learn more about your journey, be a part of your journey, and finally potentially become a customer of yours.
Yeah. So, like I said, I run a social media marketing agency called STN Digital. Our kind of motto is we make it happen. We unlock your brand's potential. So we work with a ton of large sports properties and entertainment properties as well. As far as me, you can follow me on Twitter at David J. Brickley. You can also listen to my two podcasts. I have a Business of Social podcast where we really dig into the ever evolving social media landscape because it moves so quickly. I thought it was important to kind of have a show where we could constantly update people and talk about that. And then I have a second show called Entrepreneur Rap, which you were kind enough to join me on, where we talk to other entrepreneurs and just like you're doing, try to unlock some key things that can help other people and just understand people's journey and motivate people and inspire people. I think that's important too. So the two podcasts, the company's STN Digital, and I'm on Twitter, Instagram, all the different things too.
Love it, man. Well, it's always an honor talking to you, man, and looking forward
to
building an even stronger relationship with you.
Of course.
To those that are still watching and listening, thank you guys for always liking, commenting, and subscribing. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on YouTube and head over to tbeshow.com for more interviews just like this one. Go out there and execute your vision, everybody. Have a good rest of your day.